If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Something I hope is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It is to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to just read four verses beginning in verse 9. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I'm going to stop right there. I've entitled this "The Deep Things of God." I know it's very ambitious, but believers are to know some things. Paul states it here that there are things that are freely given to us by God to know. Now, I don't know all of your backgrounds, but there was always a background among the Armenians where I spent a year or two, to my shame, but for my edification. There were always some Armenians who would argue with you just simply on the fact, Walter, you remember, whether you could know you were saved. They basically stated, you can't know anything. That's not what this book says. It's not even close to what this book says. And if you want to vex somebody like that, just turn to any page you want to in 1 John. And you will find somewhere in there where John's telling you something you're supposed to know. I wrote to you because you do know. But that was the background. Paul states it. There are things freely given to us by God to know. Now the New Testament is filled with statements about not being ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery. I would not that ye should be ignorant. I would not have you ignorant. There's one, we are not ignorant of his devices, speaking of Satan. But, beloved, be not ignorant. That's a command. Be not ignorant. Now, if we have stated here, ignorance can be educated. You can't help stupid, but ignorance can be educated. The scriptural word, more scriptural word I like better, is ignorance can be enlightened. He enlightens the eyes. The Spirit of God does. Enlightened. Ignorance can be enlightened. This whole Bible is written so that we who love him may know him and the Father who sent him. Now here in 1 Corinthians 2, we have how we know. Walter's been reading in Romans 7. In Romans 7, it teaches you what it means to have two natures. But he doesn't really go into, in Romans 7, about how you get two natures. He does here in 1 Corinthians 2. He's telling us how. It's shown in 7 with the flesh and the spirit, the law and the spirit. But here, Paul is dealing with what we are to know and how we come to know it. I can tell you this. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Even enlightening of our ignorance. That was one of my descriptions of myself when I met Walter. I was pretty ignorant of almost everything having to do with Christ and God. I was mostly ignorant of the Catholic Church, and that's where I was born and raised. But I didn't know any of this stuff. Never heard any of this stuff. And if they did say something about it, I wasn't listening anyway. But God did not leave me in my ignorance. He sent me to a place where I learned. He taught me from His Word. He taught me through His Gospel. He would not have you to be ignorant. That's why we have this book, to know Him. But Paul starts here in verse 9, where I'm starting anyway. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now there are those who will quote this verse partially in order to try and prove their point where you can't know anything. See, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. And they stop right there. Well, Paul doesn't stop right there. But I want to look at this a little more carefully, because this is actually a reference by Paul from Isaiah 64 and verse 4. You don't have to turn there. I've got it written down. Isaiah 64 and verse 4 says it this way. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. That's where Paul got this from. The Proverbs are very clear. Only God gives eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands. They're clear. If you got a problem with that, you got a problem with everything. If you got a problem with that, you got a problem with everything. Only God gives eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands. Now, what does that mean? Well, what that means is that what Paul wrote here is true. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has never, never entered the heart of man. This is clearly true, seriously true, and also gloriously true. What God has done, is doing, and shall do for those that love Him has never entered into the heart of man. Never. Never. None of the princes of the world knew this. It says it right before this. None of the princes of the world knew this. None of the men of the world knew this. None of them knew the wisdom of God. Why? It never entered their heart. Paul told us. Never. This is not a speculation on Paul's part. This is not a supposition, a deduction, or an observation. This is a boldly stated fact written by a man inspired by the Word of God to write it down for us. And I'm putting this statement right here, right up there with the proclamation of Stephen before he was stoned. When he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist." Always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. So do ye. The truth of God, as it is in the face of Jesus Christ, has never entered an uncircumcised heart.
Right.
It's never entered the heart of man. Never. Never. The gospel of Christ, I'm going to say this, has never entered an uncircumcised heart.
Right.
The wisdom of God has never entered an uncircumcised heart. Man's heart, as described in the scriptures, is described as a heart of stone. Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. But I like that heart of stone thing. Because what is a stone? Okay? A stone is inorganic. What does that mean? That means it's dead. It's a rock. Man's heart is described as a rock. Now, how much truth does a rock absorb? Okay, how much of anything does a rock absorb? It ain't a sponge, it's a rock.
Right.
It's not alive. And here's the point, being an inorganic thing, it never has been alive.
Right.
It's dead. There's no life in the heart of man. None. And it has never entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. You say that's harsh. Well, yeah, I guess it is. But the truth is harsh. And the truth is uncompromising.
Yes.
But above all, the truth is the truth and not a lie. Paul wrote it, inspired of God, quoting Isaiah, who was inspired of God. So we've got it twice by men of God, that it has never entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But it does say God has prepared. It does say that God has prepared. Excuse me, even though eyes haven't seen it, ears haven't heard it, and the heart hasn't understood, it's never entered. But God's still prepared. This is not anything new. As I said, Paul was quoting Isaiah in the Old Testament. But God has prepared. There is, you know, I'm sure, I know, theories. And people who preach, and people who listen to stories about how God is kind of working things out as he goes along. It ain't so. It's not so. It's not at all. God has prepared. There have been preparations made for those that love him. He's making no adjustments. Walter, there's no tweaking. I like that word. Well, we just got to tweak the program and it'll work. Usually that means I have to go around things in order to get something done. That's not what God has done. It's not what God is doing. He is not tweaking the salvation. It's his salvation. It's perfect. Everything in this world that is happening, and everything in this world that is going to happen, especially to them that love him, especially that them love him, has been prepared by God. You ask when, you ask why, you ask how. Well, Isaiah also said that God declared the end from the beginning. From the beginning, God declared the end. Everything is going exactly the way God declared it. You understand? It's not even the fact that He says it. That makes it so. His voice goes out. My word goes out. And it never, ever returns to Him void. It accomplishes exactly what He has set out for it to do. God has prepared things for them that love Him. And if you want to know a little bit of when, you look back where Paul was quoting Isaiah. Isaiah starts that quote off. Since the beginning of the world. Now, Paul doesn't definitively declare that here, but that's the way Isaiah says it. It's from the beginning. Known unto God are what? All His works from the beginning. That's foreknowledge, if you really want to know. That's foreknowledge. Known unto God are all His works. Since the beginning of the world, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. This is not new. None of this is new. None of this is new. God prepared since before the foundation of the world. And it does say, specifically, particularly, for them that love Him. There are things in the future. When Isaiah wrote, when Paul wrote, and as we read it here, there are things in the future that have been prepared for those that love Him. Particular promises. It's just as true now as it was in Paul's day. It's just as true now as it was in Isaiah's time. This world does not know Christ. Period. You can just leave it right there. This world does not know God. Period. Father, Son, or Spirit. None of the above. None of the above. And this world has no idea what God has prepared for those that do know Him, that do love Him. It has never, ever entered their heart, their consciousness, their mind, their thoughts. And I want to particularly point out the way they wrote this. Isaiah put them that waiteth for Him. Paul wrote for them that love Him. That's the only. It's not a qualification. That's a description. Okay? You don't have to love Him before He'll do anything for you. That's not the way it works. That's the way it's preached. In a lot of places, but I refuse to preach it that way here. This is a description. It's a description. This is for those that love Him. But you understand, it doesn't say anything else. That's all it says. Them that love Him. You understand? This is not a great faith and a little faith thing. Got nothing to do with it. Do you love Christ? Do you love Him? Are you looking for His coming? Do you want to see Him? This is the only thing that Paul gives as a description here. Every believer fits in that. Everyone whom God has converted fits in there. Great faith, little faith, doesn't matter. Strong faith, weak faith. People use these descriptions all the time. It's the faith of God's elect. And if you have the faith of God's elect, you believe Him and you love Him. And he has things prepared for you. That's the only description given here. Them that love him. It doesn't say that we believe with all our heart, mind, soul, or strength, Walter. Because we don't. But we love him. That's the only thing. I think that's marvelous. But there are some things that he has promised. Some things that he has prepared. And I can't leave this verse without bringing this up. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. I know y'all know that, but I can't go without saying it. But what he has prepared for them that love him. Jesus Christ himself promised he would raise up those that come to him at the last day. That hadn't happened yet. He has promised that he would raise up every single one that would come to him at the last day, on the last day. Peter writes to those brethren there, and he says that we who are kept by the power of God through faith, and it does say, unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. There is a sense, a true sense, in which our salvation is complete now. There is nothing to be added to salvation to be saved. But there is yet a completion of this salvation yet to come. And God's already prepared it. Who? For those that love him. That's what Peter's writing here. Unto salvation, what does it say? Ready to be revealed. It's already ready. Why? Because it's already prepared. God has prepared it for them that love him. The completion of his salvation that we have been given. It is a perfect salvation. And it's going to be perfectly completed. What? In the last time. But it's ready. It's ready. Paul will continue on in this letter to tell of things that God has prepared for us. In 1 Corinthians, it says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Guess what? God's already prepared for that. The dead are sown in corruption of the flesh. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Guess what? All that is prepared for them that love him. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. This corruptible, I love this, must put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. God has prepared that for those that love him. How is this all possible? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. What? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. God has prepared this already. God has prepared this for them that love him. And this right here has never entered the heart of man. They have prophecy conferences all over this nation. Come and see the future. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The future for the world is not really something I want to see. Now this, what God has prepared for those that love him, that I want to see. That I want to be. but they will spend hours and thousands of dollars and try to raise thousands of dollars speaking about nonsense. And they don't know, and they don't care, and they can't have a conference on what God has prepared for them that love Him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is it ever entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. But God. Those two great words, but God. Guess what? You're going to see something a little different in this verse. But God. Because we're going from the heart of man to somewhere else. That's the separation here. The heart of man and the Spirit of God. And how do we go from one to the other? But God. That's the only way. That's the only way. But God hath revealed them unto us. And that is that word, apocalypso. God has uncovered them to us. God has unveiled them to us. God has raised the curtain on them, right? They're afore prepared from the beginning. They're already there. We didn't know it. The heart of man never knows it.
Right.
But God has raised the veil to us. It is given unto us to know these things. Was freely given. He's uncovered them. For those that love Him. It's still particular. Us. He starts off this chapter. The first word is brethren. And I, brethren. Paul, an apostle, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or come and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. That's who this is written to. That's who this us is. And Paul is including himself in that group. This is to whom God has lifted the veil. Those whom He has called, regenerated, and converted. Those who know Him. Those who love Him. This is the us. And Paul has just illustrated the difference between us and the heart of man. The heart of man has not been revealed. It has been revealed to us. I did it a few weeks ago. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them but that are blind, whom the God of this world has blinded, obscured. There's nothing wrong with the scriptures. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. The problem is, and always has been, with us. With man. So there's nothing wrong with the truth. Everything's been prepared afore. But it can't enter that heart of stone. It can't enter the heart of man. The Spirit. And for clarification part, His Spirit. That's what it says. His Spirit, the Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I thought about this because, you know, Walter, Mason, people like deep things. They like to think, you know, that they know something other people don't. That's what they want. That's what them prophecy conferences are all about. That's the flesh. That's exactly what it is. That's not what Paul's writing here at all. But I can tell you this. People don't believe the deep things if you tell them. Because it's never entered the heart of man. This states two things very quickly on the surface. A, there's nothing hidden to the Spirit. He's God. It's His Spirit. And He is God. No thing is hidden from God. And the second thing is, God has depths. That's what this word means. It's not deep things. It's talking about the depths of God. The deepness of God. There is a deepness to God that has never entered the heart of man. And I don't mean anything by this as far as, oh my goodness, you're going to have to study hard, buckle down to get this. You understand? There's a depth to God that we will never understand. But what we do have is here in this word given to us. But God does have deep things. There is a depth. See, there are people, the heart of man hadn't even scratched the surface. But there's a depth to God that has not entered the heart of man, but the Spirit knows. But we are told here that the depths of God are seen where everything of God is seen, and that is in His Son. All of the depths of Christ that we will ever know, we will know in Christ, and we will know through Christ. Paul stated it at the beginning of this chapter. Verse 2, he says, "For I determined not to know what anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So if Paul's talking about the deep things of God, he's talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's where all the depths of God is. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a depth, true depth, that this world has never seen. It has never really entered their heart. I determined to know nothing among you. And then he says, what? We speak wisdom. The wisdom of God in a mystery, hidden. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Our glory. I didn't think I was supposed to have any, Walter. No, you got some, He gives you some. That's the only way you will ever have some, is if He gives it to you. And the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is glorious. And is a glory unto us to know. If the princes of the world had known the depths, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And the reason they didn't know is it never entered their hearts what God has prepared. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. God prepared. God prepared it all. God prepared the deep thing. What does Jesus Christ and Him crucified mean? It means that He is a just God and a Savior. It means that He provided the redemption that we needed to become those that love Him. It means He was raised for our justification. It means that we are justified by His blood. We are redeemed through Him. We are accepted in the Beloved. There is no deep thing outside of Christ. Ever. This is the thing, see. People read this verse and they want to go willy-nilly. They want to know the secret gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no secret gospel. It's not that kind of mystery. Okay? It's not a whodunit. He tells you who done it. He done it. It's not a mystery in that manner. A puzzle to be solved. No. It's a mystery which was never before revealed plainly. That God has his people. God even has his church. But it's all through the work of Jesus Christ. It's all through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his life. And it was all prepared from before the foundation of the world for those that love him. The deep things of God, the depths of God, are revealed to them that love him. In his Son, in Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you love him? That's the only qualifier, that you love him. It doesn't say you love him strongly. It certainly doesn't say you love him perfectly. But if you do love him, rejoice. And realize it's because he first loved us. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come, who did live, who was slain, crucified, made sin for us, who knew no sin, and took away all our sins. Thank you for the redemption in your Son and our life, which is in his life. Amen. That was good, yeah.